In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul said, even as I teach in all of the churches. His point is that whatever he taught the same thing in all of the various churches. And so there is that very sort of consistency between and among those churches of biblical days. Modern relativism, on the other hand, rejects absolute knowledge and thereby casts a cloud of doubt over everything, including the plan of salvation. Unfortunately, even some among our brethren have bought into this and have lost their convictions. Some have begun to backpedal on such simple things as Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I believe in whatever generation, here we are, living in the year 2015. And Acts 2:38, if somebody says, what must I do to be saved? I believe that I can respond in whatever age of man and say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Now, why can I believe that? Because I am convicted of the solid truth that is embodied in that statement. And no matter what someone says to me, I cannot be moved from that rock. God's people have a conviction about those specific acts of worship that are revealed in the New Testament, and they will not sacrifice upon the modern altar of crowd-pleasing entertainment as a purpose for the church to gather. Let's get together and have a big party. Well, you know what? They're having a bigger one and a better one down at the Rotary Club. What am I doing here? And yet that is the sort of thing that many have bought into. It's showtime, some folks say. You know why they say that? Because they've been to community churches where it is, it's showtime. It's not church. It's showtime. It's much closer to Hollywood and what goes on in Hollywood than anything that goes on in here. In this book, a whole lot closer to one than the other. Let me tell you, when we hear brethren say things like, why, that old five steps to salvation, that's Church of Christ doctrine. That's Church of Christ tradition. And this idea of the five acts of worship, singing and prayer and preaching and Bible study and giving, that's just Church of Christ tradition. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's straight out of the book. It was 100 years ago, and it is right now. I don't care what they say. And if you don't believe it, dare them to debate us and see whether they accept. They won't. They won't touch top, side, nor bottom to a debate proposition on the subject. But they will slam us every good chance they get on Facebook and on Twitter and all the rest of these social media things because they don't have the basis upon which to stand up and be counted in the real crucible of debate. In John 4:23, Jesus said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers. Now, let me tell you something, folks. If there are true worshipers, there are false worshipers. That's a dichotomy that Jesus made. You know how I know it? Because he talked about the true worshipers. And if you know what true worshipers are, you know the difference between false worshipers. Jesus made the distinction. I didn't do that. The true worshipers. He said, they shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's what he said. I didn't make that up. That's John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Those are the words of Christ. Saints of God today refuse to allow the culture to dictate the manner of life that God has called his people to follow. I remember a story that I heard from the wife of an elder. This gentleman had served in the church for many years, and his wife told the story of going in to see him at 4 a.m. in the morning, morning after morning, and finding him there at his desk weeping, praying that the church that he was working with was so beset, as he put it, by so many cases of adultery and moral failure. You know what's happened there? We're just going along with the world. We've ceased to be distinctive. We're just exactly like the world is. And so the first step in this loss of spiritual distinctiveness has been taken when people are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of solid truth. 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. But let me tell you also about the fact that compromise is a second step. A rejection of truth, a conviction against conviction. Did you hear what I just said? A conviction against conviction. And that's what we're really dealing with, because these people are really convicted that we're crazy for having convictions. It prepares the church for the next step in the loss of its distinctiveness in the modern world. And that big word is compromise. A church that has lost its conviction is ready now to rush down as needed.